I had been wondering, Richard asked me to do the sermon today, and I had wondered why. I didn't know he was going to sing, so I think he wasn't planning to ask me for that part. So. Good morning. Well, you're about awake, aren't you? Okay. How's life for you? How's your life? How are you doing? How many times have you asked that this morning? And you hoped it didn't tell the truth or too much or take too much time of your time in telling whatever their life was about. Now, that's what I want you to have in the back of your mind as we go through this. And some of it, just to be honest, may be difficult for me, but I'll survive, okay? I'll get there. There are moments these days that I get easily broken up, but it's only for a second or two. We're in a church season that is November 1st, and if it doesn't come on Sunday, then we do it either the Sunday before or the Sunday after, and so today is All Saints Sunday. Some churches did it last week. There's a number of churches doing it today. It's actually a three-day season of the church year. Sometimes it confuses us a little bit. Halloween, October 31st, is really the beginning of the season of All Saints Day. We start, if you think about Halloween, sometimes it's called All Hallows Day or All Hallows Eve. And if you think about Halloween and Hallows Eve, you know, we've changed a little bit over the years, and we get into characters of different kinds than we did once upon a time. The idea was that on All Hallows Eve or All Saints Eve, you would dress up as one of the saints, and there might be a prayer service at church or a gathering or a worship or something that starts with sundown. Remember those days? In the Jewish faith especially, they have their worship service on Friday night, because the day, they believe, begins with sundown. Day is sundown to sundown. And that's where the beginning was. And All Saints Day is the day we celebrate the saints that are in our lives in various ways. And then November 2nd is All Souls Day. How many has got a soul? I hope you have one. Okay. Some of you do, at least. All Souls Day. So everybody, Christians and non-Christians, and everybody would be included in that day. And so last Monday, as we celebrated Halloween, some people were beginning their All Hallows Eve or All Saints Day. And then Tuesday the 1st was All Saints Day, and Wednesday the 2nd was All Souls Day. And here we are for All Saints Sunday as we celebrate today. It goes back to May 609, All Saints Day. Pope Boniface IV dedicated the Pantheon in Rome to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this particular saint of the church was begun to be blessed and looked upon very specially. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory II changed the date from May to November 1st. Because he dedicated the chapel at the Vatican in honor of all the saints. And if you think back in the Christian church, we have not been much into the litany of the Christian year until recent years. And once upon a time, we did All Saints Day was really on a Memorial Day back in May. We were doing it in May, but that has become more and more a military holiday, and so we've sort of begun to move to November 1st, really in about the last 30 years, as the Christian church has begun to move and take this day as very special. November 1st, and Pope Gregory II changed it because he dedicated the chapel at the Vatican in honor of all the saints. That's where we started. Pope Gregory IV extended the celebration to all saints, to the universal church. It's not just one particular denomination. Who are the saints? Different ways to look at it. At least two or three different ways. Those canonized by the Catholic Church, They have saints that are very special, appointed special days during the year. There's a process that they go through that they evaluate the life and what they have done, what they've accomplished, and how they're going to perform that, how they have performed in that life, and it becomes very special. In the United Methodist Church, All Saints Day is a time to remember Christians of every time and place, honoring those who lived faithfully, who shared their faith with others, with us, in reality. So it can be very special individuals. It can be those that are very special individuals to us because of our relationships and our ties with them and what is taking place. Or it can be just all of us. Look around. There's a few saints sitting in here, in there. Maybe some of them are looking at us, or they're saints. Lutheran Church says that space that embraces is a space that embraces with honor the multitudes of individuals among the beloved dead. We see their faces in our minds around about us. We say their names. We recognize them in some special way and the impact that they've had upon our lives. And then I've told you about disciples. We did it back in May. Now we do it on November 1st or the closest Sunday to it. We celebrate the communion of the saints, a communion that's made up of past and present, even future Christians, and how they touch our lives. But think about our scripture. Did you hear it? Did you listen? Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's what really comes out in our mind, isn't it, when we refer to this 12th chapter of Hebrews, that Jesus has acted on our behalf in some special way. And what can we do then in our lives on his behalf? How much can we be like Jesus? And back in John, it says, greater things than I go ahead of you, because greater things than these will you do. He's laying a lot upon us at that particular moment. And the interesting thing is that in this 12th chapter, it really connects with the 11th chapter, but I didn't want you to have to listen to the whole chapter, and so I'm going to abbreviate it for you, because it's there that the writer in Hebrews is referring to these who are saints for him. He names in that chapter, and I know that you're going to want to, sometime maybe this afternoon or tomorrow when you have a few minutes, you'll pick up the Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read that chapter and see what he says about these particular saints and what is the list that we're going to do today as we share in a few moments, or what is your list of saints in your life. But he names Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Esau, Joseph, Moses, the Israelite people, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. Once upon a time, well, I do have a classmate whose name, middle name, happened to be Jephthah. He went by his first name. He didn't use that name and didn't tell it to many people. He names David and Samuel and the prophets. Those are the names that he placed. What's your list, you see? Who are those that are important to you? Who would you name? And then he describes these people. This is all in that one chapter now. And these are just words that come from that chapter. He describes these that they conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice. They received promises. They stopped mouths of lions. They quenched raging fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They won strength out of weakness. They were mighty in war. They put foreign armies to flight. All that in that chapter, and all referring to these people. And there are others, you see. Who are their friends? Who are these people's family? who are the people that have touched their lives and whose lives they have touched over the years. He goes on to say, those around these saints received their dead. Now this is the ones around these people who saw them as very special and very important. And he said they had been tortured. They refused to accept release. There was mocking and scourging. There were chains and imprisonment. There were stoned. They were sawed in two, killed with a sword, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. All kinds of things happened to them. We remember the saints of our faith and in our lives who we've lost and who have touched us. And those that are still living that are around us and who have touched our lives. We think about the things that made them remarkable, a blessing to others and a blessing to ourselves. There have been experiences of pruning that goes on in one's our life and their life as we correct mistakes or things that were wrong or difficult to deal with. The loss and the letting go sometimes. We had part in shaping them as the people we loved, and they had part in shaping us and the people that we have become. Now, what fruit in your life do you want others to remember? Have you ever told anyone? You ever shared that I'm most proud of? How do you nourish and bless others around you? How do you nourish and bless your family and who they are and whom you are? What do you let go so that more and better blessings could come than are there now? I see we're back to that. Remember what that question was? How are you doing? How's your life? To help you with your thinking, I don't mean to give emphasis on me, but I want you to know some of the things that I have dealt with over just the past two months and where I am in life. Psalms 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. And as you know, on September 4th, let me get through this, my wife passed away. 2 weeks later, we had her memorial service. It was on a Sunday morning that she passed away, about 6:30 in the morning. We did her celebration of life on September 18th. It was a week before Tad's birthday. So we were trying to avoid some of those things in life. But it went well. Even I survived moments of sharing at that time. But a week later, I got a phone call from a friend that I hadn't really talked with in quite a while. It's been several years. Ann Peavy and Vicki and Matt know Ann. Matt stays with her and helps her some. She took care of Betty's father and her stepmother in their later life when they needed someone to stay with them. And she was one of their sitters. Ann had dated her stepmother's son, Don Tucker. She had dated earlier. Now she was simply taking care of him because of illness in his life. And I think even Matt was there at the time. On a particular day, Don had a stroke. He was in the hospital. Ann said, they're telling us he's not going to survive. And you know the next question? Will you do the service for us? Now, what do you do? Here's a lady asking a question Here is a life that had touched me. His older brother had been a classmate of Betty and mine's back in the 1950s, before some of you have even studied the history of or whatever. The next day, I didn't hear anymore. The funeral home called, and Don had passed away, and the family had set the funeral for Thursday the 29th, 11 days after Betty's service. I survived it. Not paying any attention when I got to the funeral home, they had some songs selected that they were going to play that were pre-recorded. And one of them was "The Wings Beneath My Wings." And I didn't notice until we were into the service. That was one that Kim did for me at Betty's service. But I survived. It was a little easier than I thought it might be. I have a neighbor, Chip and Lori Stevenson. Betty and I have lived where we are for about 31 years, probably a little more than 31 years. About 22 years ago, Lori and Chip moved in a house. We're on the corner of a cul-de-sac street by our house. They're across the street from us. Lori and Chip have two children, Kristen and Matthew. They were young kids when they moved in. Kristen's in her early 30s and Matthew's late 20s. They're both married. Kristen has a son and a daughter, so there were grandchildren involved. Lori was a stay-at-home mom, and she's one of those, she knew everybody in the neighborhood and everything that they did. If you wanted to know something, go talk to Lori. She kept up with everything. We would converse, so I'd be out cutting grass and she would be outside and we would talk. And I'd get updated, she'd name a name and I said, tell me where they live. I knew where people lived and their faces, but I didn't always have the names and still don't always have the names. 58 years old, Lori had a stroke last January. And while she was in the hospital with that stroke, they discovered that she had stage 4 cancer. In her midsection is where it was. She began some treatment. I found out, she started asking me about doctors and who Betty's doctor was for her cancer and so forth. They had no doctors. They had not been to doctors in years. And so she was asking for suggestions and asking for a variety of things of what to do. And as time went on in May, she had a second stroke. They believed that the cancer caused the strokes, which I didn't realize that was true, but it is. She asked for prayers and we prayed together. She asked how to pray, and I gave her some instructions of possibility. She had some devotional materials, and she asked, do you have anything? I don't think she was quite satisfied with it. And I gave her a upper room. We had communion together from time to time. It's really convenient to have these little cups and things that we can do. And a few of them disappeared, not many, but a few of them over the last few months. October 1st, Lori had a fourth stroke and passed away the following Wednesday, October 5th, a month and a day after Betty. Her church background was Catholic, but they had not been active in a number of years. And I got a text from Chip that morning, Wednesday morning, telling me that Lori had passed away that morning. And I went over afterwards to see the family. The kids and family were there. The hospice nurse had arrived. And they said, you knew her best. Will you do her funeral? So by October 15th, less than a month, I had taken part in Betty's and led two other funerals. Now, you know, it has been interesting and difficult. You mix in feelings, my feelings during that time. You mix in the paperwork of what you do for an estate. Chip and Lori did not have wills. I had suggested months before that they update things because we didn't know what was coming. And if you have a will, I encourage you to have a will. Lee can help you with that. He's good at it. He did ours. There was an addition, not to mention Tad's birthday. There was my middle son's birthday, my youngest grandson's birthday. There was a week of dog sitting with Ace, my grand dog, I guess, for my youngest son's family while they were away on vacation. There were texts from grandkids about how I was doing, but mainly they were asking how Ace was doing. And Ace does welcome me more when I go by the house than he used to after that time. You see, how's life for you? Have you stopped and just think about how mixed things become? There was a book years ago, I can't remember the name of it, I've forgotten the author now, but the first line in that book was, life is difficult. Another person has said, life is unexpected. There's death and sorrow anytime. There's no way to prepare. Where there is loss, the key to remember, there is another life in heaven with God. Loved ones move to a better place. We still grieve. That's the natural process. I've been rereading all my grief materials and learning more that has gotten shared, because I suddenly realize what is happening to me in this moment, what's going on here. And it does help to look back in those stages of grief and the mixture of life that comes in. Loved ones move to a better place. We still grieve, and that's a natural process. And we turn to friends and family and faith to support us. God is on our side, by our side. He is there to comfort, to make us hopeful, to give guidance in good times and bad. Now you see, what's your list of saints? You'll hear some names and you'll see some names on the board in a few moments. But who are they for you? And how important are they for you? Grief feels like it's never going to end. But listening to God, allowing yourself to feel one's emotion, giving self time to process, we will find comfort again. And even we might say, God, what are you thinking in us incurring in a moment of life? That's all mixed in and a part of it. The Lord is near, the psalmist says in the 34th Psalm, the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. God saves those who have lost all hope. You can love me most by sharing your joys, and multiplying your generosity to others, one has written. The 7th verse of Philemon in the New Testament, this is a slave owner to which Paul is writing. Your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. How's life? How are you doing today? Hang in there. God is by our side to comfort, make us hopeful, and to give us guidance. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give thanks in these moments for your great love for each one of us and the question of the sainthood of ourselves and those around us, how special you are, how special others are, how important life is together with one another. Bless us and strengthen us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.